Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, it's always a treat when Tom Jones graces us with his presence. Much like Tom Brady, could he possibly be coming out of retirement? You last joined the show a little over a month ago. Of course, today Rick's not on. He is off for a few days on a clandestine mission. We cannot disclose that information at this time. But Tom Jones returns, and you were on about a month ago. I was looking this up right before the show. And since then, Tom Brady's returned, as well as a lot of free agents that the Bucks had.
Correct.
The Lightning have gone into a slump.
Yes, they have.
They were on a big break when last time you were on. And baseball,
they're still on a break, by the way, but go ahead. I digress.
Yeah, and baseball has decided to play this season. So
they are back. They're no longer on a break. Well, I am coming out of retirement, Steve, but I think I want to do a podcast in Miami. I think that's the way to go for me. Just like Tom Brady.
Well,
Tom Brady's going to end up in Miami, right? That's what everybody says.
That's what I keep hearing. I mean, you know.
I know.
So that's why he got Ryan Jensen to re-sign here. That's why he got Chris Godwin to do a long-term deal here.
Chris Godwin's
that's
back.
Logan
Ryan's
Leonard
Fournette's
here.
Fournette's back.
Yeah, Leonard Fournette's back. Yeah, so he can go to Miami. Sure.
He's taking all those guys with him. They're just going to trade the whole offense for Miami's whole offense. Yeah. We'll have Tua here, and we'll all be all set.
And by the way, Bruce Arians
I cannot believe he's back. I really thought he was retired, and when you look back at the announcement, Steve, when he announced that he was retiring, even though he never said retiring, right, in mm-hmm. that original announcement, it looked for all the world like it was a goodbye. Now it all makes sense that he was saying goodbye to Tampa Bay, but I mean, maybe he thought about he was going to play somewhere else, but I guess when you look back, you could connect all the dots and say, oh, well, he really wasn't going to retire. I thought he was done. Did you actually think he was done?
I thought he was, and I thought it was purely because of family. We know it's not because he yes. can't play. We know it's not because he's not physically able to. Maybe mentally he decided he was done. But it was more the Giselle and the kids. And, you know, I mean, I never questioned that he could come back and win a Super Bowl. I mean, you know, he's often said, I don't want to be sitting on my couch watching football going, I'm better than all these guys out here. Which
right
now he is outside of a handful, maybe you'd say better him. Maybe. I mean,
right.
Tom Brady didn't win the MVP this year. He should have.
Yeah. Oh, you could definitely make a case.
I mean,
for sure.
You know, that there's no question about his ability, the way he plays the game, prepares for the game. Now, if you don't want to put in that work again, if you just said 22 seasons was enough, I'm done. Okay. And that's fair. And you're right. But I thought it was the family reasons why he was done.
I thought so too. And I thought that, you know, with, you know, his kids are getting a little bit older. They're starting to get involved in more activities, you would assume.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what his wife, what her situation is in terms of work, if she's put some work aside while Tom has continued to play football. I don't know all that. But what I do know, Steve, is that a lot of people, like everybody else in the world, manages to balance a life and work life and a home life at the same time. The difference is, I think most of us would spend more time at home if we could afford to. If we didn't have to work.
Well, sure.
There were a lot of us wouldn't, and we would stay home and play with our kids and hang out with our wife when we could.
Maybe.
But for Tom Brady,
you know, he might have went back to work because after 5 weeks of that, he's like, yeah, this is enough.
Well, maybe they got enough of him. That's like, all right, you need to calm down. You know, we need you out of here because you're driving us crazy. I think you hit on it, Steve. I think it gets to a point where you look and say, man, I don't want to leave too early. Now, obviously, he might come back, and you hate to see the athletes who stay a year too long. But at the same time, if you're looking around and say, I can still play this game, I can still win, I can still win a Super Bowl. He said originally, I want to play till I'm 45, or play at least till I'm 45.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's getting a chance to do that. So there's no reason why he shouldn't come back. I am surprised that he is coming back. I just didn't think it was going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, first it was supposed to be San Francisco. Now it's Miami. I mean,
I never bought the San Francisco thing for a couple of reasons. One, I know he has an older son that lives in New York, and mm-hmm. I thought he'd want to stay more on the East Coast. Not that I pretend to know what goes through Tom Brady's mind. But this whole idea of him holding a grudge, this, you know, he walks around with the draft card in his pocket about how many teams passed on him. I still got the impression that San Francisco was one of the teams that if he was considering going somewhere at, when he was leaving New England, remember, didn't he make a reference at some point, like he reached out to a team who basically said, nah, we're good.
Yeah. No, we know he reached out to San Francisco. No, he may have reached out to more. We know they reached out to San Francisco, and they went.
And the gut and the feeling was that San Francisco's like, yeah, we're good with Jimmy G. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know.
Well,
but if it is true, there's no way he was going back there.
Sure. I mean, they were just coming off a Super Bowl where Jimmy G got them there. Now, you could say he cost them the Super Bowl, too.
True.
But his salary cap situation would have been a huge hit if they got rid of him, too. So, plus, you know, if you're going to sign Brady for, say, $25 million, it was something like $40-plus million cap hit for Garoppolo if you got rid of him, trade or whatever. And so, you know, I think that influenced their decision, plus the age and, you know, our long-term prospects of when do we think, you know, how long do we think our windows open, et cetera. I think that's why they made the decision. Rick and I have had this discussion, and we know that San Francisco is one of the teams that he wanted to, or was a team he called and wanted to go to, maybe the only one.
Right, and if they told him no,
right now,
then Brady strikes me as a guy who's like, all right, fine, we're done. I'll never play that.
Yeah, I think he could get over the draft thing.
Yes.
Because the people that made those decisions, but the people that made those decisions and drafting Giovanni or Carmazzi or whatever the quarterback's name was, I can't remember his name. Those people aren't there running that team anymore. The people that turned him down 2 years ago are still running the 49ers.
They're still there. Exactly. Coach, GM,
and so
everybody. Yeah.
If he's one who holds a grudge, which we believe he is, and kind of use that as fuel and chips on your shoulder, why would you go there if you were him?
I don't think, too. And, I mean, when he first announced he was coming back, my initial thought was, why would you do this? Now you're messing with your legacy. A, that's not true, I guess, because, I mean, it's not like he's going to come back. Even if he has an awful year, we're going to say, oh, maybe he's not the GOAT. He's going to be the GOAT no matter what. But there was a part of me that thought, man, you kind of went out not in a bad way. You know, you had the great comeback. You made the playoffs. You had, like you just mentioned, arguably an MVP season. You had this incredible comeback against the Rams. It wasn't really your fault you lost in the playoffs. And you did pretty much everything you want to do except repeat as a Super Bowl champ. But this would be a good way to go out. You're still on top of your game. That's the way I think. I don't think people like Tom Brady think that way.
Players don't think that way at all.
Right. They don't. The idea of failing or not going out on top doesn't enter there. It's not a part of their thinking. That's just not the way they're wired.
They're motivated more, I think, by if I leave too early, I'm going to regret it. If I stay too long, I won't regret that. I'll regret leaving too early, knowing I could have done more.
Right.
Because once I hang it up, I'm done.
We've seen it before. I think, you know, obviously the most famous case is Michael Jordan coming back. And Jordan actually, his numbers weren't bad his last few years with Washington. But I think that's the one we really look back and say he had nothing to prove. He'd won 6 titles.
Mm-hmm.
He was at that point and arguably still the greatest basketball player of all time. And yet he wanted that one more time because I also think, Steve, there's nothing that can replace this for them. When you spent your whole life in a competitive situation, you can't just leave and say, okay, now I'm going to go play golf, or now I'm going to. Obviously, Tom Brady's not it doesn't seem like somebody who wants to coach or even own a team or anything like that. But the competitive part of it, I think, is something that it's just irreplaceable for these guys. I think they like the camaraderie. That's also irreplaceable.
They know they'll never duplicate that in their lives.
Yeah, what else? There's nothing else
and
in
so
life.
So if you're not ready to walk away from it, why walk away?
Right.
And
because eventually they're going to tell you not to come back.
Right. The storylines in Hollywood and the perfect ending to walk off the field, that's Hollywood. That's not real life. I mean, if you think you can still play and that excites you and drives you and pushes you, why wouldn't you go keep playing?
Exactly.
It's your story. It's not somebody else's story.
And I there's something that tells me they're not going to be quite the team they were the last 2 years. I think they've lost a little bit. But I look at this NFC, Steve, and there's no reason why when you look around, especially now with, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is back in Green Bay. I don't know what Green Bay has left around him at this point, particularly after losing Adams at wide receiver. And then, and you know, Deshaun Watson did not come into the division like many people thought he might.
Yeah, he had a 3 out of 4 shot to come to the division. And,
right.
And the Bucs lucked out.
Yeah, exactly. So they're the favorite to win the division, the Bucs are. You probably have to deal with Green Bay. You're going to have to deal with the Rams, likely.
But yeah, those are the three best teams in the NFC.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys, I think, are probably up there, too.
Who else?
The Cowboys are probably up
there. Yeah, I would expect. Now, I think the Cowboys basically replaced the 49ers as the sort of the other team, though, okay, to watch out for. So, yeah, they're as they have as good a chance as anybody in the NFC.
I mean, not Russell Wilson's not in Seattle anymore.
No, that's right.
Who
that's
knows
right.
what Kyler Murray and Arizona are going to do?
Another good point. So, yeah, there's no reason why you can't win the division.
Which gets you a home playoff game. It gets you a home playoff game.
Sure.
And go from there.
Yeah. So, I think the right decision. So, I'm still surprised by it, but I think it's the right decision.
Gronk comeback?
I think so. Yeah, well, for the same reasons. Although, I don't know that Gronk is sort of driven the same way that Tom Brady. I think Brady, it's an obsession with him. I think Gronk really likes football. And clearly, but he's taken.
He took a lot of
much
injuries
more
last
of a beating.
Year. Oh, last
yeah,
year
he took.
Did.
He's taken a beating much more than Tom Brady has over. You know, Tom Brady's played twice as long, and hasn't taken as many hits as Gronk because of the position involved.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think for the same reason, Gronk may say, why not? One more, just one more year. It'd be worth it." So
yeah, I mean, if he wants to play, he's playing here. It's not going to be Buffalo. It's not going to be Cincinnati.
No, I don't think he becomes a hired gun where he just travels around looking for somebody to play with.
No, he's going to play with Brady if he's going to play. And
play with Brady in the nice weather.
But he also doesn't have to decide now.
Right.
He doesn't have to decide in June. I mean, he could say in August, hey, I want to play, and they'll sign him. They'll find a way to figure it out.
Yeah.
Does it Brady wants him? Brady gets him.
It's unbelievable. It's great. It's unbelievable.
Hey, I mean, he came to the worst franchise in North American sports and brought him to a Super Bowl the first year.
It's the greatest story in Tampa Bay sports history. As we've followed some of the other things that have gone here, incredible moments. We have a hockey team that might win a third consecutive Stanley Cup, which
in the salary cap era.
In a salary cap
never
era.
Never been done.
Never been done. First team to even win three in a row since, what, the Islanders of the early
80s? Yeah. You got the Rays, who are defying all odds and keep winning the AL East and having the best record in the American League.
Right. Beating up on the Yankees, beating up on the Red Sox. And yet, Brady coming here and winning a Super Bowl in his first year, that is, you can't, there's nothing. There's nothing that compares to it. It's the greatest sports story in the history of Tampa Bay sports.
I can't
and
argue
always
with
will
that.
Be, yeah. I believe.
I can't argue with that. I mean, it's like I said, the Bucs had the worst record of the four American sports of any team.
It's a joke. It was a joke of a franchise. Any one of those scenarios, if I'd have told you Tom Brady is coming to Tampa Bay, right there, you've lost me. At that point, no, that ain't happening. If I'd have told you 4 years ago, 5 years ago, Tom Brady's going to play for the Tampa Bay Bucs, you would have been like, that's ridiculous. Like, that's not even – if we had suggested that as a radio or podcast topic, hey, let's throw out some crazy ideas just for fun. Hey, Tom Brady plays for the Bucs. Like, that's too stupid. Well, why would we talk about that? That's not going to happen. And it happened. And then they win a Super Bowl. It's with Rob Gronkowski and all these other – and Leonard Fournette and all these other guys coming out of the woodwork to play.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It really is. You're correct. It's the best sports story in this in this town's history. And there's been a lot of really good ones lately, particularly.
Oh, sure. I mean, and I can't even imagine another story that would ever top it in our lifetime, like, or in the next 10 years. Unless the Lightning were to win 10 in a row, which isn't going to happen. But even if they did, at that point, okay, maybe.
No, I was going to say 10 in a row in hockey.
10 in a row. That would do it. Okay. Yes, that would do it. I mean, shy of that.
They get to 5 in a row.
They get to 5. I'll give you 5.
I mean, you they pass the Islanders of the 80s. You pass, I mean.
You get to 5. Okay, Lightning wins 5 in a row. I would still kind of argue with you. Like, I don't know. Maybe Brady. I still think it's a better story. Tom Brady.
But if they get to 5 in a row, though, let me think about this. So since 15, they've been to the Eastern Conference Finals. They were there 15, 16, 18, 20, 21, and then 3 more years. That would be 8 out of 11 years in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Let's transition over to Lightning here, Steve.
Sure.
And let me ask you this. And this is totally unfair, and I know it asking it already. Mm-hmm. They've won back-to-back Stanley Cups.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you get the sense that they should have won more? They should have won at least one more in this stretch.
So, let's go through it. In 15, if Ben Bishop and Victor Hedman don't collide?
Yes.
They probably
Johnson doesn't break his wrist.
They probably have a good shot at winning that cup in 15.
I think they win that. I think
which I don't think they were the better team, but I think they played better in that series than Chicago at certain points.
I agree.
Sure.
I agree. In Chicago, that was one of three Stanley Cups they won in a 5 or 6 year span.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think, look, up 2-1 in that series, and I still think they should have won that series. But you're right. When you throw in the Bishop had the injured groin.
Yep.
And Tyler Johnson, who, by the way, had an amazing playoff. He was as good a postseason player as they had.
Oh, incredible. Absolutely incredible.
And he was just a shadow of himself in that series.
The next year, they go to the Eastern Conference Finals against the Penguins.
And I still
think Bishop gets hurt.
Bishop gets hurt. Stamkos doesn't play until Game 7.
Correct. Vasilevskiy outplayed Matt Murray in that series.
And I say this to this day, Steve. In Game 6, score tied 0-0, Jonathan Drouin gets called for an offsides that would not be offsides by today's rules, I don't believe.
Mm-hmm. Correct. They've changed that rule now.
It was the right call at the time. I'm not saying, but I still, I hate to replay on offsides in hockey, period, anyway. I think let the linesman call it. They don't miss them, and if they do miss them, it's by an inch, and it never affects the play. If Jonathan Drouin doesn't get called for an offsides there, and they take a 1-0 lead, I'm convinced they win Game 6 at home.
I agree.
And I think they win this. I don't know. San Jose was a pretty good team that year. But the Penguins went on one. Or Nashville, right? Or was that Nashville?
I don't remember. I think that was San Jose.
Either way, yeah. I think the Lightning goes on and wins the Cup. So that's another one down the drain.
So 2 years later, Washington in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Well,
you go to Game 5.
Yeah,
First of all, you lose Game 1 and 2 at home. You're down 0-2. Then you go win 3 in a row.
Right.
You take a lead in early in the second period in Game 5, and then you don't
score
the rest of the series.
Again.
Yep.
Never score again.
Yeah.
I will say this, Steve, though. With that, they going into the playoffs, because they had beaten, remember, Boston. That's the year I picked Boston to win, and everybody killed me for it.
Yes.
I thought they were going into that series against Washington, I thought they were the better team. I actually picked them to beat Washington. But as that series progressed, I thought Washington was way better.
Washington was on a mission that year. But
They could have played a best of 51 games.
But you're up 3-2, and you take a lead.
Yeah, right.
And you know, you didn't score the last two games, essentially.
You didn't last two games, and you had Game 7 at home.
Yeah. You definitely had a shot to win one there.
Right.
And I think they would have beat Vegas that year.
And then the next year.
The next year, you set all kinds
of records.
Is
maybe the best team you've ever had. Arguably.
Offensively, for sure. I mean, they didn't play a lot of defense. If
True.
Victor Hedman doesn't get a concussion in the final week of the season or a week plus.
Right.
I mean, he played games 1 and 2 in the playoffs, but he wasn't himself. David Savard is never going to undress Victor Hedman.
No, I agree. There was no doubt that Victor Hedman was not Victor Hedman in that series.
And, you know, he didn't even play games 3 and 4. I mean, you know, had it been regular season, he would have never played games 1 and 2.
Correct.
If he doesn't have a concussion, I think that series is very different. I don't up 3-0 in that first game. You're not going to lose that game.
Right. So now you're up 1-0. I'm not beating him up for not winning, but at the same time, it does feel like, and I said this to Rick all along, and then I said it to you. I mean, it was good that they won the series the next year, won the cup the next year, because that's sort of made up for the fact that they had never won. I mean, they were going on a coming close to a stretch of being sort of the best 5 or 6 year stretch without winning a Stanley Cup in NHL history.
Well, and Stamkos at that point, since Ovechkin had won, was the best player, you know, currently playing not to have won a cup,
right?
Based on his career, and you know, I think those losses. Look, the first cup they won, and there's no asterisk by it. Everyone plays by the same rules. But
no, I think you can make an argument that it was actually tougher than
you could. And you could either way, however you want to say it. Yeah. But to me, an asterisk is, you know, this team cheated. They had an unfair advantage. That's an asterisk. If everybody has the same rules in front of them, it's not an asterisk. Everyone had the same opportunity. I think, you know, those misses and count them up 15, 16, 18, 19. Those misses drove that team through that bubble. I mean, we heard stories of some teams didn't even care to be there, and they were quickly eliminated. I mean, you've heard stories of the Caps and the Pens, you know, had no.
Well, the Penguins were looking for an exit.
Yeah, they could have cared less to be in that bubble. They wanted to go home. They didn't care. You know, the Lightning were so laser focused that they never went to a Game 7 that year.
Yeah, that's incredible.
I mean, they marched through that playoffs. It was like, we're not missing this time, period. And without those losses before, you don't know what they would have done in that playoff series.
Right.
You know, they were driven. They were like, this is our opportunity. We're taking it. Because if you remember, even in that season, so at Christmas time, they were about a 500 team.
Yeah.
They weren't playing very well. That's and they were trying to find their game and be more defensive and not just go offense and that. And then they went on a stretch of 23-2-1 right after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's an incredible stretch. And all of a sudden, they're one of the top teams in hockey. They weren't top, but they were right up there in the Eastern Conference. Then they hit a skid. And they were not playing well when everything shut down in March 12th. They were struggling. And they had traded for Coleman and Goodrow. And what a great story and the chemistry those guys have on penalty kill and then their line with Yanni Gourde. But when they first came to the team, there was no chemistry. They look lost, and that happens in trades, and that's not knocking them at all. But, I mean, the team was not playing well. But they got to that bubble, and they were motivated. And I think it was a lot of those, you know, what had happened the last 5 years prior.
No, I agree. I mean, I think it did have an impact, but you're just going to look back. I think they're winning those two cups now, but just winning the one cup made up for just some years where it felt like they should have won at least one up until then. I don't know. I'm sure there's a bunch of teams. You could take a handful of teams every year.
Washington, that way. I mean, when they finally won their cup, it was kind of like, you know, I mean, they've had such great teams and kept running into the Penguins in the playoffs and would get eliminated.
Oh, yeah. And St. Louis for years used to win President's Trophies and be one of the top teams in the league and then couldn't win at all. Looking at this team, Steve, this Lightning team right now, they're starting to see. Just when you start to feel good about it, though, I mean, okay, they beat the Red Wings, which was nice to get a win. I get it. But then the Red Wings go out the next day and get just slaughtered by Pittsburgh. The Detroit's not a very good team. I don't think the Islanders are a very good team.
They're both about 500. They were looking
for the end of the season, both of those teams. Now it's better than losing to those teams. There's something missing, Steve. I don't know what it is, and I can't put my finger on it. I don't know if they're bored. The Lightning. I don't know if they're just waiting for the playoffs to start at this point. I don't know if they're sort of transitioning in some of these new guys that they have.
Here's my theory on it. And this is all mental with them.
Yeah.
So they were rolling this season, putting up tremendous numbers, one of the top 3 or 4 teams in hockey. And then you get to February and you take a 3-week break. Yeah, you schedule 3 games in the middle of there. So you get 8 days off, then you play 3, and then you get another 8 days off. This team has played so much hockey and been through so much the last few years. As you could argue, each of the last two cups were harder cups to win than normal years.
Right.
Maybe a shorter seasons, but the circumstances around it harder. that I think mentally they checked out. I think
I don't disagree.
I think they got to that break and was just like, and they're having trouble getting it fired up because they know they're in the playoffs. You know, I mean, you came back from the break and you went to the Stadium Series, and that was an adrenaline game, and cool, and finally the Lightning get to play in one of these, and so you can get up for that. I just think they're having a tough time right now mentally getting up for every game like it's a playoff game, because it's not, and they
it's
know
it's not
it.
A playoff
they
game.
Know
and
it.
when you've played in a bunch of playoff games, you know the difference right. between it. And also that, what, 11 cities, 11 games?
Yeah, 11 and cities. The road trip didn't help. I mean, you're in all these time zones and 11 games in 11 cities, one home
that
game.
That was a weird trip, too. I mean, that trip was scheduled, I mean.
You know, so it's, you know, were you really excited for that trip? If you're the Lightning? I mean, you know you're in the eight teams in the Eastern Conference are decided already.
Hit on something right there. Not only are the eight teams decided, it's not even as if you're trying to figure, okay, we need to get to here because we want to avoid that team, or we want to get to there because we want to play this team. Everybody's good. Mm-hmm. I honestly believe, and I wouldn't even count out Washington, but other than Washington, I think all seven teams that are other than Washington, and I'm just not crazy about Washington, but they have Ovechkin.
Yeah.
And I don't like their goaltending, and I don't like.
I still don't think Toronto's got enough to go through four series.
I don't think so. I'm not in love with Toronto either.
I'm
but
questioning whether Boston does through four series, but can they win a series or two against any of the teams in the East?
That's
absolutely
what I'm saying. Like, I can't line up any team and say, yeah, I'd rather. Now, there are certain teams I want, if I'm the Lightning early on, I want no parts of Florida. I want no parts of Carolina.
Those are the teams you'd prefer to avoid. But
I also look and say, like, the Rangers, I don't know that I want to play the Rangers. I don't know what in the other conference. I don't know that I want to deal with the Penguins. Mm-hmm. It's not as if there's a gimme team where you say, okay, if we could just get to this spot and we'll play this crappy playoff team.
There's eight playoff teams in the East and eight teams that aren't, and we already know them. We knew them 10 games ago with 30 to go. We knew the playoffs.
So it's almost like, tell us when the playoffs start, tell us where we're playing, and we'll go and we'll play.
You know, so the question is, and you know, look, they're also got a target on their back. The question is, can they turn it on? Now, last year, they got off to a tremendous start, and they played like crap down the stretch. And everyone was worried, and they got blown out by Florida the last two games.
Right.
Oh, this team's awful. And they came out and won the first series handily. It was a good series against Florida. You know, they kept saying, don't worry, we're fine. And nobody wanted to believe them. And then they went out and proved they were. Can they do that again? We'll see. I think the overall competition in the Eastern Conference is better this year. Overall. I mean, I think Carolina and Florida were tremendous last year. And those were two tough series. And then the Islanders as well. So I guess they went through the three toughest teams last year.
For sure, yeah.
But, you know, that I just look at the team, and it's the mental mistakes that keep creeping into the game, and the number of penalties and offensive zone penalties and things like that. I don't think they're fully mentally there now.
Well, what it's going to come down to, Steve, is that are they good enough and mentally strong enough where they can flip a switch, or are they acting so cool and that they think that all we have to do is flip a switch, and then that switch isn't there.
Well, and now you start, I mean, you know, okay, so you have a game tonight against Carolina, and you're not happy the way you played there last week. You know, and now you're going to get 12 of the final 17 at home. And you're starting to flip the calendar. I mean, today is the 29th of March. The regular season ends 1 month from today, April 29th. Now you start to see that the light at the end of the tunnel, and maybe they can start to dial it in mentally and be ready for that. You know, you came back from that break at the end of February, and you're like, we got 2 months of this left, and we already know we're in the playoffs. And we've proven last year, we don't care who we play. We don't care if we start at home or on the road. Just get in. And you know, like I said, it's nothing consciously they're doing. You know, but
they got really good goaltending. Andre Vasilevsky. Absolutely. I'll go in any series, no matter who you play, and I'll take Vasilevsky over the other team's goalie, no matter who it is, in the whole entire NHL.
Yep.
But the only thing, Steve, is that I want to see their special teams get a little bit better. Like, the power play's a bit of a concern for me, because it's not like they're missing anybody.
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe they're not going out of their way to really switch things up quite yet, because they don't want to give away too much going into the. And I get it. Look, I covered the NHL for 1,000 years. there's ebbs and flows with your power play. Sometimes mm-hmm. the best power play in the league completely shorts out for like 3 weeks or a month for no explanation. And then all of a sudden they score six power play goals in two games, and then it's on its way again. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
Kuch
has not been himself the last couple of weeks. And look, that power play goes through Kuch.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, most power plays run through the point man. No, this one runs through Kuch. He's the creative guy. He's the one who sees the ice. You know, and that's why at the beginning of the year the power play wasn't as good, because he was missing. He was hurt. And you know, he's just a tick off. You know, for whatever reason.
I agree.
And finesse players and guys that play games like that, you can go through those ebbs and flows, just like the power play does and just like that. I mean, it's, you know, his game, you're going to have ebbs and flows to it. And he just hasn't quite been there. And when he's not, the power play's not the same. And the power play and the penalty, well, the penalty kill doesn't concern me, because I think they've played pretty well in the – they just take way too many.
Yeah.
And you're playing with fire at that point.
Right, and they're bad penalties, like you mentioned before. Mm-hmm. Too many offensive zones, like slashes and trips and holds in your own, and you know, in the other team's end. It's mm-hmm. just
yeah, you're stopping a breakaway that's, you know, could result in a goal. Okay, that's fine. I mean, you know, right. There are some penalties you can live with. It's the ones, you know, too many men on the ice because six guys skated out there.
Yeah,
you know, it wasn't even like a bad change. It was six guys were out there. You know, no, you can't take those penalties. I mean, those are the ones you just can't take.
Not allowed to do that.
Yeah. Now, Ryan McDonough's injury concerns me.
Yeah, no, that for sure. And that's the one area, obviously, Victor Hedman's, I think, the most valuable piece on this entire team after Vasilevsky. I would even argue, if I had to play a series without either Vasilevsky or Hedman, I'd have to think about it.
No, I want Vasilevsky.
I get it, but I'm telling you, I don't think they win without Hedman. I don't think they win a series without Hedman. Against a Florida or Carolina or somebody like that. I just don't think they do.
Yeah, it may depend on who
you're facing.
He plays
way too much.
But do you think Brian Elliott can beat Frederick Anderson or...
I do.
Or Bobrovsky. Okay.
I think he might. No, I don't think you can win a cup. I don't think you win four series in a row. I don't think you... But I think you win a series. I don't think you win a series without Victor Hedman.
Okay.
Not one. That's just, I think he's that valuable.
And Columbus had proved it. I mean, you know, he played the first two games, but he wasn't himself.
I just think he's that valuable. I think I don't know that he's going to win. I think Yossi will probably win the Norris, but Hedman, if you ask me who the best defenseman in hockey is.
Yeah, Yossi or Makar could, or.
Yeah. Yossi's offensive numbers are ridiculous. Yeah,
I mean Vasilevsky's not going to win the Vezina again, but he's going to lead the NHL in wins again.
Yeah.
And he's the best. I mean, Shesterkin's having a great year, don't get me wrong.
Yeah. And Vasilevsky, I don't think he's ever going to be one to put up like stupid numbers, you know, just, mm-hmm. I mean, he'll lead the league in wins and that sort of thing. But in terms of like goals against or save percentage and everything, but he reminds me more of Grant Fuhr than anybody who plays the game today, that you might have games where he'll give up four, but there are nights that the Lightning scores five. And then there's when you need a 1-0 game or a 2-1 game in the playoffs, he can provide that for you.
And when you have a clinching game in the playoffs, oh my goodness.
Oh yeah.
What's that? For five straight he shut out.
Yeah.
I mean, just incredible. Yeah, I mean, I'll take him any day in the playoffs. So, number one, BS, he doesn't win the Vezina. What about baseball? Baseball is back. Spring training's underway.
Are we even going to play this season? We just give it to the Dodgers, right? This is dumb. We're just going to give the the greatest lineup I've ever seen in the ever.
How about the Rays making a serious play for Freddie Freeman, offered $150 million over 6 years?
Well, I mean, if you do the numbers at reading Topkin or whatever, it, you know, counting income tax and all that, wasn't that much of a difference.
No, South California is home for him. I mean, that's where he's from.
I'm curious, Steve, if Freddie Freeman had stayed with the Braves,
mm-hmm.
could the Rays have been in on Matt Olson? That's, you know, that's a guy.
I don't know if they'd want to give up as much as the Braves gave up
probably.
A lot just
that's,
to get him.
You
had to trade for him. It wasn't a free agent.
They
did
give up a lot, right?
You know, would they give up that much in addition to that?
Right. Maybe not. But I'm excited about this race season, Steve. I still think they might make a move with one of these guys. I don't know if it'll be Kiermaier.
Well, they've got seven outfielders if you count Josh
Meadows.
Lowe, who they're saying is ready to come up. Probably not going to start the season on the big league roster, but they say he's ready. And when he comes up, he's going to be an everyday player. So they may have to clear a couple outfielders. I mean, now they added Harold Ramirez.
Yeah. And I'm just excited to watch Wander Franco for a whole year. Oh. That's just going to be so
and a Rosarena second full year.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
So, it's a fun team. It's a fun team. And I like their pitching. It's gotten better. So.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Neil Solons tomorrow on the show. And one of the unique things is the Rays actually have a starting pitching staff.
Yeah.
Like, they have five starters right now. And they got a couple guys that will probably be starters when they come back from injury, like Shane Baz.
Right.
And, you know, Yanni Chirinos could, too. He's hurt. But, I mean, they've got McClanahan, Patino, Rasmussen, Yarbrough, and Kluber. They have five starters right now. Now, they may run some openers in front of some of these guys occasionally. But the team that invented the opener and has done it now all of a sudden has legit starters. And the team that has infielders that go everywhere and play everywhere, they have five infielders on the team. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got Lau and Franco are everyday second and shortstop. Choi's going to play first part of the time. Yandy Diaz will play first the other time. Yandy Diaz is going to play third, and Taylor Walls will back up all three infield positions, second, short, and third. That's all you have in the infield. You don't have, you know, Joey Wendell's gone now, but it's funny how the team has changed.
Joey Wendell.
Yeah.
Why did you tell me? I forgot. Every time I forget that he's not here, and then I'm reminded, I'm like, Joey Wendell. I miss Joey Wendell. The season hasn't even started yet. I miss Joey Wendell.
No batting gloves, and he gets up there, and you're like, this guy can't play. He just doesn't look like a ball player. But
right, and yet every time there was a big situation, he was coming up. I'm like, all right, there's a chance. Joey Wendell's up.
Yeah.
We have a chance here. For sure.
But, I mean, the Rays team is – it's funny how they've – changed and adapted, and now all of a sudden you have too many outfielders. Before, it was always too many infielders. And then you got prospects ready to come up, too. Vidal Brujan's probably not going to start on the big league roster. Josh Lowe. I mean, these guys are going to come up at some point. And, you know, the Rays are deep.
That'll be fun.
I mean, Neil's going to talk about even the catching position. There's depth in the organization and catcher. Any time you've ever heard that with the Rays?
I mean, depth. They've never had catchers on the roster.
They found Travis d'Arnaud because they had like eight catchers injured and they couldn't find anybody.
Yeah.
And that's granted, he turned his season and career around, and now look at him.
Right.
But it's, I'm glad baseball got their differences figured out.
No, I know. And it's nice that a short spring training lead up to it. Everybody's ready to go.
You only missed the first week, and then you're still going to play those games. So, the Rays have 2 5-game series in Toronto this year now because they missed the first week. They were supposed to go to Toronto,
right?
So now they're making. There was already a 4-game series. That's going to become a 5-game. Then a 3-game series.
That's where you just hope that like somebody like a Wander Franco isn't out for like a week.
Yeah.
You know, with some sort of injury. And then you got to go up there and play 5 games against a team that, I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to. It's not going to happen this year, but eventually, right, they're going to get to the schedule where it's not loaded up. Where you're not
next year, you're going to play every team. You're not going to play every team at home. You'll play every team every year. So presumably you'll play, let's say, the Dodgers every year, but 1 year there, 1 year here. Right. But you'll get to watch every team play your whatever team you cover in this town, the Rays, of course. But you get to watch them, and you're not going to play 19 games against the Orioles, although that did help the Rays last year when you go 18-1 against them.
Right, for sure.
But so there'll be a few less Yankees games, a few less Red Sox games, but you get to see every team.
Fine by me.
Not a fan, huh?
Well, I mean, it's fun to play those teams, but if you're as a spectator, but not if you're the Rays. I'd rather give me more games with the Royals. Let's bring the Cleveland, whatever we're calling them these days. Let's bring them in.
Well, they're the Guardians now.
Guardians, yeah.
Let's have Commanders in football and the Guardians in baseball. So
yeah, more games against the Guardians. Let's bring bring those teams in.
All right, well, let's see. Final four, you got any predictions? Is Coach K already, already crowned him the champion on his way out? I mean, is that guaranteed? Or
I think it's Villanova. No, I think Villanova's – I think Coach K gets to the final. I think they get their revenge against Carolina in the semis.
Just think if Carolina ends Krzyzewski's career in the final four.
Okay, I'm going to say this now. I used to think Duke fans are the most insufferable fans in the world. I think Carolina's right there with them. I got news for both of you schools. Both of you are insufferable. Mm-hmm. Especially when you're playing one another. And so if they end Krzyzewski's career, I think Krzyzewski comes back. You can't quit. You can't come.
ACC tournament. You lost your final game at Cameron.
You can't go out with Carolina taking you out. You have to come back for another season. I mean, come to USF.
Rick thinks it's
come
rigged.
To USF. Everybody comes to Tampa for one more year.
Rick thinks it's rigged that he's going to, you know, win the whole thing. So,
of course he does.
What about the – I know in your newsletter that comes out this morning.
Yeah.
Everything's about Will Smith and Chris Rock.
Okay. So I'll do it real quick because I know we're running short on time.
Well, subscribe to the newsletter. Just go to pointer.org.
You can't do that, Will Smith. You can't. I mean, first off, didn't he get his mom sent him out of Philadelphia because he kept getting in fights, and then he goes out to Hollywood and gets in a fight. You can't do that. You can't hit a guy. Here's the problem I had with it, and I know, you know, Chris Rock made a crack about his wife, and his wife has this condition, and you know that causes her to lose her hair, so she shaves her head and all this. But here's the thing: you go up and you slap a guy in the face like that, and look, you ruined what was the greatest night in the professional lives of Jane Campion, the director, and Ariana DeBose, who won Best Supporting Actress, and that Troy Kotsur, who won Best Supporting Actress, and Jessica Chastain, and Questlove, who wins a Director's Award for documentary. That was the award that Chris Rock was there to give out. And Billie Eilish wins an Oscar, and they're honoring The Godfather. And
well, Will Smith finally won his Oscar.
Will Smith, you ruined your own night because people aren't going to remember. Hey, remember that night that Will Smith won the Oscar? Like, no. Remember the night that Will Smith slapped Chris Rock? Yeah, of course. That's what everybody's going to remember. Now, Will Smith came out with an apology on Monday night. Pretty lengthy. Seems sincere. Too late. I'm not saying you shouldn't apologize. I'm not saying it was not sincere. I think it was. But you ruined the night for a lot of people this was their greatest night of their lives. And you did it because you got pissed because a guy told a joke about your wife. Come on. Like, you got to be better than that. So disappointing.
It is. Fair. And we'll end on that. So Tom Jones, thank you for coming out of retirement once again, and subbing in for Rick, who's on a clandestine mission that I cannot disclose the details.
When Rick gets back, we got to find out what was going on.
Yes. I'm not at liberty to disclose the details. I do know where he is, but not at liberty to say. So,
wow. Okay. Now I got to come back next week and try to figure and find out what happened.
Done. See, now you should have signed yourself up. Now
I know. Yeah.
We got to continue being show prep for everyone. So
there you go. We can do that.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Tom. I know you got to run, so we'll let you go on that. Neil Solance will be on the show tomorrow. We'll talk a lot of Rays baseball, go through the roster and all the prospects and the outlook for this year. I mean, the AL East is going to be loaded, with exception of Baltimore. And the Rays look like they should have no – I won't say no problem. They should be in that fight to win the division again. There's no reason they can't be up there. So it should be a good season for the Rays. So thank you, Tom. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Steve.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.